Hare Krishna. So we've been discussing the various qualities of Sri Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has identified 64 prominent qualities amongst the unlimited qualities that Krishna has. And amongst these 64, four are considered very special, because they are not found even in Lord Narayan, the Lord of Goddess Lakshmi. And these four special qualities are special because of their sweetness, madhurya. The first special quality is that he performs many, many wonderful nectar-laden pastimes. Krishna is like an ocean, and these pastimes are like waves in that ocean. As you know, an ocean is always full of waves. There is never a moment when an ocean doesn't have waves. And how many waves are there? Unlimited. The ocean has unlimited waves. Similarly, the ocean called Krishna has unlimited waves of pastimes, and they are always happening. And these pastimes are very amazing, astonishing. They produce great exhilaration and astonishment in the heart of one who beholds them, or even one who hears about them. What to speak of one who actually participates in them? Actually, because these pastimes are taking place on the transcendental level, therefore hearing about them is actually also participating in them. So Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Sarvad Bhuta Chamatkar Leela Kallolavaradhihi. So this is Leela Madhurya, which we discussed yesterday. The second special quality of Krishna, which we will discuss today, is Prem Madhurya. And Srila Rupa Goswami has defined it or described it as Atulya Madhura Prema Mandita Priyamandalaha. Krishna is always surrounded by extraordinary devotees who are filled with the most intense prema, Krishna prema. These devotees are like decorations around Krishna. Or you could say that these devotees are decorated with prema. So the word mandita means decoration. Mandalaha means the circle or the group. Priya mandalaha means Krishna is always accompanied by, surrounded by devotees who have great feelings of love for him. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is never alone. Krishna means his associates, his name, his abode and so on. And just as a king is never without his ministers or assistants or commanders and so on, similarly, Krishna is never without his intimate associates, his devotees. And he is constantly engaging in the most wonderful pastimes with them. And these pastimes, as we saw yesterday, they produce intense bliss. Krishna, in the company of his devotees, exchanges prema. The reason for Krishna having expanded himself into so many, eko bahusyam, is that Krishna wants to exchange this devotional energy that increases the bliss. And in this way, Krishna relishes that happiness and also gives happiness to all his devotees. Amongst all the devotees of Krishna in the entire spiritual and material creation, the topmost are the residents of Vrindavan. Because their prema or their love for Krishna is superlative, extraordinary, beyond parallel, beyond compare. There are pure devotees in Vaikuntha. No one can enter into Vaikuntha without being a pure devotee. But even then, the residence of Goloka Vrindavan and the residence of those who descend with Krishna and who participate in Krishna's pastimes here when he descends into this world in Bhauma Vrindavan, they are even more special. The word rag in Sanskrit means many things. But this word describes the love of the Brajabasis for Krishna. The word rag actually in brief means attachment. But in connection with Krishna, it means an intense ecstatic attachment to Krishna that is spontaneous, that is natural. And because of such natural, spontaneous, intense, ecstatic attachment to Krishna, there is naturally some love and some service. This attachment or this thirst for Krishna is called rag, and the devotional service that takes place in pursuance of such a mood of intense attachment is called ragatmika bhakti. Atmika means essence. So ragatmika bhakti means that bhakti which has such intense attachment as its very essence. And because of this attachment, there is great absorption of the mind in Krishna. So thirst or attachment or love for Krishna is the cause, and absorption of the mind, body, senses and everything in Krishna is the result. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada explains that the cause and effect are one and the same in the spiritual world. Therefore, the very cause of that devotional service is one with its effect. So this intense attachment overwhelms the minds and the consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan. They become Krishna Maya, full of Krishna. It becomes an obsession that is all-consuming, all-devouring. They cannot think of anything but Krishna. It is not possible. Krishna haunts them, so to speak. The word rag also means color. When you wear red colored spectacles or glasses which are red, then you see everything as red. If you wear green colored glasses, then you see everything as green. Similarly, if you mean rag to mean Krishna, the attachment for Krishna, then the vision of the Brajabasis is colored with that intense thirst and attachment for Krishna. As a result, they see Krishna everywhere. They think of nothing but Krishna. So it's all Krishna, Krishna and only Krishna. That's all. In this way, the residents of Vrindavan are very special. Srila Prabhupada gives two examples to illustrate this ragatmika bhakti. The gopis were always thinking of Krishna. When Krishna early in the morning went into the forest along with his cowherd boyfriends and the cows to graze the cows, the gopis would be filled with thoughts of anxiety. Oh, Krishna is going into the forest without any footwear. The soles of his feet are very tender. And the floor in the forest, the ground, is very harsh because there are many thorns, there are many pebbles. And in this way, Krishna's feet could get hurt. In fact, Krishna's lotus feet are so soft that even if he were to keep it in our chests, still it would become hard. So Krishna must be experiencing great difficulty in the forest. In this way, the gopis would meditate when Krishna was in the forest. Another example Krishna, Srila Prabhupada gives is of Mother Yashoda. When Krishna was away playing with his friends and he would be late for lunch, Mother Yashoda would be filled with thoughts of anxiety. My son Krishna has been playing for such a long time with his friends. He has been expending so much energy, getting tired, and plus he has not eaten, so he must be getting weak. And in this anxiety, she was experiencing a kind of divine transcendental bliss, which cannot be understood by anyone except someone who actually experiences it. So this is the nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. They could not even for a moment not think of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, this is the natural situation of Vrindavan, that everyone and everything there naturally and spontaneously loves Krishna. He says, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, the birds, the other animals in the forest, the trees, the grass, the dust, the water, the air. He says everything and everyone is spontaneously attracted to Krishna. And they all are intensely attached to Him. So this kind of attachment that is so intense and so spontaneous that it is all-consuming, all-devouring, is found only in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, Krishna is surrounded, Priyamandalaha, by such a group of associates, of devotees, whose love is beyond compare because of this attachment. So this is called Raga Bhakti or Ragatmika Bhakti. Sometimes devotees confuse Raganuga Bhakti with Ragatmika Bhakti. The word Anuga means one who is following in the footsteps of. Ga means to go, Anu means behind. So Anuga means one who is following. So the word Raganuga is composed of two words, Rag and Anuga. One who follows in the footsteps of the Rag Bhaktas of Vrindavan, they are called Raganuga Bhaktas. So the Raganuga Bhakti is on the platform of practice, not of perfection. It is performed by sadhakas. It is a part of sadhana bhakti. Whereas the rag bhakti exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan, which is so sweet, therefore it's called prema madhuri, is the ultimate limit of perfection, sadhya. It is a siddha avastha, the state of perfection. So therefore there is a great distinction between the terms Raganuga and Ragatmika. Srila Rupa Goswami gives some examples of this prema madhuri, of how the associates of Krishna and Vrindavan love him in such a special way. And in his commentary to this verse, these verses in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Jiva Goswami has given further examples. So now we will read some of these verses of the different categories of devotees in Vrindavan, and we'll see how it is so special. Yes, could you please distribute these? Some can distribute at the back also. At the back, please. In case there are some short, please share amongst one or two. Among two or three of you. I think there are short, so please keep one sheet amongst two devotees. One amongst two or three, please. At the back there, please. At the back.
There at the back.
The first verse that we have here in the sheet in front of you is a verse from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse has been spoken by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has been bewildered upon seeing the exhibition of Krishna's mystic potency. And having understood Krishna's true position, he also realizes the glories of the residence of Vrindavan. Because Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Brahma's own Lord as well, is dealing with the Brajabasis in such an intimate way that was inconceivable even for Brahma. Generally, anywhere except in Vrindavan, the Lord deals in a loving way with his devotees, but there is still a degree of formality in the sense that the devotees don't take too much liberty with the Lord, especially in Vaikuntha. Most of the demigods, they worship the Lord in that mood of awe and reverence, and therefore they are not allowed entrance into the intimate pastimes of Krishna. They can at best watch from a distance, being bewildered. After Krishna had performed the wonderful Govardhan Leela and Indra's pride had been smashed, Indra came down to earth to Vrindavan. He approached Krishna in a solitary place along with Mother Surabhi from the heavenly Goloka planet, not the spiritual Goloka planet. And then he began to offer his obeisances. He offered respects and prayers, his apologies and so on. A wonderful Abhishek ceremony was also performed. In private, Krishna, who was then just a 7-year-old boy, spoke to Indra in a very formal way. He spoke as the Lord. He spoke, as Shukadev Goswami says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in a voice that was rolling like thunder, a deep voice. A 7-year-old child doesn't have a very deep voice. But Krishna was now, at this moment, assuming the role, or assuming rather, not exactly the role, because he is always like that. He was acting in his constitutional position as the Supreme Lord. Whereas in Vrindavan, he was interacting with the other devotees not as the Supreme Lord, but just as their friend or the son or the lover or so on. And he told Indra, "Now Indra, I have forgiven you this time. You are my dear devotee. Please do not make this mistake again. Please do not get puffed up. Now you go back to your kingdom and rule everything nicely." So Krishna doesn't speak like this to the Brajabasis. He was speaking like this to Indra. Similarly, Brahma also could never in his dreams have imagined dealing with Krishna in such a personal and intimate way that the Brajabasis were dealing. And what was it that caused him to get bewildered? Krishna had gone out for pasturing the cows, as was his daily practice, and soon the boys were hungry. They all sat down on the banks of the Yamuna and they all opened their respective tiffin boxes, which were full of sumptuous delicacies, nice prasadam. And then each of them started eating, but they also started exchanging it. One boy, he put prasadam from his box into Krishna's mouth and said, "Krishna, how do you find it?" Krishna said, "Oh, it's delicious. I think it's the best food I've ever tasted." So the other boy said, "Yes, of course it is. Yes, it is." And then Krishna and Balaram and some other cowherd boy exchanged prasadam from each other's boxes. One fed the other and they appreciated each other's prasadam, mother's cooking. And then Sri Dama came along and then he gave some prasadam to Krishna in the mouth. And then Krishna just made a joke out of it. He wrinkled his face and said, "Oh, this must have been cooked by his grandmother in a bad mood." And then everyone had a hearty laugh about it. And in this way they would each exchange each other's prasadam taste and they were laughing and joking all the time, enjoying their picnic in the forest. And then another boy ate somebody else's prasad. He said, "Oh, this is also like Sri Dama's prasadam. It makes us unhappy." And so everyone would laugh. Sometimes they would steal each other's tiffin boxes, just like small boys do. They would steal the box and the boy whose box was stolen would realize, "My prasadam is gone," and he would lunge after the box, and the boy who had stolen the box would quickly pass it to the third boy. The third would pass it to the fourth, and in this way the poor boy whose box was stolen would run here and there and all the boys would have a good laugh. And then he would get his prasadam back and he would be happy again. In this way the pastimes were going on. And Brahma was watching all this and wondering what's going on here. When Krishna is worshipped in the temples, he is offered gorgeous offerings, chappan bhog, 56 grand offerings. In the heavenly planets he is worshipped in great opulence. In Vaikuntha as well, he gets the choicest of foods, the best of foods. But in Vrindavan, sitting on the bank of the Yamuna, they were all eating simple food, rice, yogurt, little fruit, some pickle. And Krishna was eating with both hands, sometimes like this, sometimes like that, not bothering about the proper etiquette of left hand and right hand. And they had no plates. Some boys would take a leaf and use that as a plate. Some would use a bunch of flowers and use that as a plate. Some would just simply place the food on a rock and use that as a plate. In this way everyone was enjoying. They didn't care about anything. They didn't have a care in the world. And when Brahma was seeing this, he was thinking, "This can't be God. God doesn't eat food like this. Simple rice and yogurt and little fruit." And so he came down and he stole the cowherd boys and the calves when Krishna was away searching for the calves. And then he came back in a second, his 1 second, that is 1 year on earth. And Krishna had meanwhile expanded himself into the cowherd boys and the calves, and Brahma was absolutely astonished. And the whole 14th chapter of this 10th canto is basically the prayers of Brahma. And this one verse, the first verse here, is one of those verses in which Krishna, Brahma, glorifies the residents of Vrindavan because they are so fortunate that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, has come amongst them and is living as if he is one of them, just like his friend. 10th chapter, 14th, 10th canto, 14th chapter, 32nd verse. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Nanda gopa vrajaukasam. Yannitram paramanandam. Purnam brahma sanatanam. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam. Nanda Gopa Vrajau Kasam Yanmitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Two devotees please chant. Each time a different devotee can chant. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam Nanda Gopa Vrajau Kasam Yanmitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Bhagyam Aho Bhagyam Nanda Gopa Vrajau Kasam Yanmitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Ladies, please. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam Nanda Gopa Vrajau Kasam Yanmitram Paramanandam Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. Bhagya means fortune. So Brahma is saying, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam. Oh, what good fortune, oh, what good fortune. For all the residents, Okasam means residents, Vraja. For all the residents of Vrindavan, including Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men. Why are they fortunate? Purnam Brahma Sanatanam, that complete whole, the absolute truth, who is eternal, who is the source of all transcendental bliss, Paramanandam, has become their friend. Yan Mitram. Mitra means friend. So Krishna has come in Vrindavan not as Purna Brahma Sanatanam. Krishna has come in Vrindavan only as a cowherd boy who is somebody's son, somebody's friend, somebody's lover, and so on. So in Vrindavan, Krishna is surrounded by such devotees whose love is so powerful, so sweet, that it makes Krishna forget that he is God. In fact, Krishna doesn't like to think of himself as God in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami goes on to give further examples of the love of the cowherd boys for Krishna. Then he'll talk about the love of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in the Vatsalya Ras, and eventually the love of the gopis for Krishna in the Madhurya Ras or the Shringara Ras. So the cowherd boys are also very, very special. Just see how much association they get of Krishna. From early morning till sunset, they are with Krishna in the forest. They are playing with him, eating prasadam with him, joking with him, dancing and singing with him, playing games with him. Sometimes they punish Krishna when they are playing games. Then Krishna is on the losing side and he has to carry another cowherd boy on his shoulders. And Krishna happily accepts the punishment. In this way they are playing completely as equals, with great fraternal affection, sneha, unparalleled. Just like ordinary boys of this world play with each other. So Krishna was frolicking and playing these wonderful games with all his cowherd boyfriends. Sometimes they would imitate the frogs. They would croak like them and jump like them. The frogs would get scared and jump away. Sometimes they would chase the birds and they would start running on the ground as if they were birds flying. Sometimes they would decorate themselves with all the minerals and leaves and twigs and flowers and sprigs that they found in the forest. In this way they amused themselves, entertained themselves all day long with Krishna. Krishna was the center of their life. So what is it that these boys must have done to merit such intense good fortune that they could play like this with Krishna all day long? And this indeed is the subject matter of the next verse here. This is from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th chapter, 11th verse. This is also a famous verse. In fact, all the verses we are going to read today are famous verses. So let's chant this one. Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. Maya shritanam naradarakena. Sakam vijaharuhu krita punya punjaha. Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. Maya shritanam naradarakena. Sakam vijaharuhu krita punya punjaha. Sukhanubhutya. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. Maya shritanam naradarakena. Sakam vijahru krita punya punja. Ladies, please. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. Maya shritanam naradarakena. Sakam vijahruh krita punya punjaha. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Neither those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service, while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, nor those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. So there are some satam sages who are experiencing anubhutya, brahma sukha, or the sukha or the happiness of the impersonal Brahman, the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. There are some dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. They think that the Lord is my master and I am his servant, dasyam, and he is the Supreme Lord. There are others who are under the influence of maya, maya shritanam, maya ashrita. Ashritanam means of those who are under the shelter of maya, under the control of maya. Naradharakena, they think that Krishna is just a human being. Sakam vijaharuhu krita punya punjaha. But these cowherd boys are playing with Krishna as if he were their equal. What kind of volumes and volumes of piety must these cowherd boys have accumulated from previous lives in order to be able to deal with Krishna in this way? So it's a glorification of the cowherd boys. So this is one example of the Prema Madhuri in Vrindavan, the cowherd boys who love Krishna very, very dearly. When Krishna walked into the mouth of Aghasur, the boys practically fainted. Or when he was in Bakasur, those who were outside, some of them, they followed him in fearlessly, but those outside were so attached, they couldn't think of a moment without Krishna. And then Srila Jiva Goswami talks about the Vatsalya Ras, the mood of parental love of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. And the next two verses talk about this Vatsalya Bhav. These are also famous verses. So let's chant them. Nemam virincho nabhavo. Na shrirapyanga sanshaya. Prasadam lebhire gopi. Yattat prapa vimuktidat. Nemam virinchuna bhavo. Na shrirapyanga sanshaya. Prasadam lebhire gopi. Yattat prapa vimuktidat. Imam virincho nabhavo. Na shrirapyanga sanshaya. Prasadam lebhire gopi. Yattat prapa vimuktidat. Nemam virincho nabhavo. Na shrirapyanga sanshaya. Prasadam lebhire gopi. Yattat prapa vimuktidat. Matajis. Nemam virincho na bhavo na shrira pyanga samshraya prasadam lebhire gopi yattat prak vimuktidat. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Na imam, not this. That means this mercy, prasadam. Prasadam means mercy. So this mercy was not received by Virincha, that is Brahma. Bhavaha, that is Lord Shiva. Shri, that is Lakshmi. Even Lakshmi, who is the better half, Anga Sanshraya. Ardhangini, the wife is called the Ardhangini, the better half of the husband. So even though Lakshmi is the better half of the Lord, still she did not get the kind of mercy that was obtained by this special gopi whose name was Yashoda. Lebhire gopi. Lebhire means obtained. Krishna is Vimuktidat. He is the one who awards liberation from this world. But he gave such special mercy to Mother Yashoda that even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lakshmi Devi were unable to experience. And it's a fact, because Krishna was actually afraid of Mother Yashoda. When Mother Yashoda was chasing Krishna after he had, in a fit of anger, broken pots of yogurt and butter, and he had disappeared, fearing that now she would catch him. When Mother Yashoda came back to the room and saw the broken pots, she put two and two together. There are broken pots in this room, butter and yogurt is strewn all over the floor, and Krishna is missing. Therefore, what is the conclusion? Krishna has broken the pots and run away. So therefore, what is the action to be taken? He must be punished. So Mother Yashoda caught hold of a stick with a firm determination that Krishna would be surely punished in an exemplary way this time, so that he would never dare to do this thing again. So with that firm resolve, she was looking here and there. And finally, she spotted him. He was up there climbing. He had climbed up on a grinding mortar and was trying to explore the contents of a pot that was hung up on the rafters in the house of one gopi. Nothing was safe when Krishna was around. Wherever you hid it, Krishna always found it. And Krishna noticed that Mother Yashoda had come. So he quickly scrambled down from the grinding mortar and began to run. Mother Yashoda was a little older in age naturally. Krishna wasn't born when she was so young. She was a little older. And plus, she wasn't very slim either. So she had difficulty chasing Krishna. And Krishna was fleeing for his life. So when you're running for your life, you run fast. And the person who is chasing you usually doesn't have that kind of motivation to run. So then Krishna was able to get away. But finally, out of mercy for his mother, he allowed himself to be caught. Krishna is full of all these apparent contradictions. He's smaller than the smallest, larger than the largest, simultaneously. He is slower than the slowest and faster than the fastest. So if he's faster than the fastest, how could Mother Yashoda have caught him? But she did, because Krishna wanted to bestow his mercy upon her. So finally she caught him, and when she looked up at him, And when he looked up at her and saw the firm determination in her face and the stick in her hand, then Krishna became afraid. He was already afraid. And now his eyes started watering and his body was trembling in fear. And then Mother Yashoda felt some compassion and she threw the stick away. She said, okay, I won't beat you, but still you have to be punished. And then she began to tie him, and you know the story after that. That Krishna, in fear of whom everybody runs, was now really afraid of Mother Yashoda. And he was willing to get himself bound physically with a rope to the grinding mortar. And he willingly accepted that happily. He was taking more pleasure in the chastisements of Mother Yashoda than he did with the prayers of the demigods when they chant the Purusha Sukta prayers on the banks of the milk ocean. So Mother Yashoda was so fortunate that she considered Krishna as her son and nothing else. She didn't think of Krishna as God. And as we saw yesterday, even when she understood she was God, she was proud. Well, my son is God, but he's still my son. So this kind of mercy by which Krishna interacted in such an affectionate and subservient, subordinate way to Krishna, to Mother Yashoda, was unheard of for Brahma, Shiva and even Lakshmi. So therefore this verse, that the kind of mercy Krishna has given here to this gopi called Yashoda is unparalleled. And similarly, the next verse is in that mood. So let's chant that. Nandaha kim makaro brahman, shreyaivam mahodayam, yashoda cha mahabhaga, papoyasyahastanam harihi, nandaha kim akaro brahman, shreya evam mahodayam, yashoda cha mahabhaga, papau yasya hastanam harihi. Nandaha kim akarod brahman, naya evam mahodayam, yashoda cha mahabhaga, papau yasya hastanam harihi. Nandaha kim akaro brahman, shreya eva mahodayam, yashoda cha mahabhaga, papo yasya hastanam harihi. Ladies, please. Nandaha kim akaro brahman, shreya eva mahodayam, yashoda cha mahabhaga, papo yasya hastanam harihi. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukadev Goswami, O learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. what auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? So this is Maharaj Parikshit's question to Shukadev Goswami. Therefore the verse begins with Shri Rajo Vacha, Shri Rajaha Uvacha. Nandaha Kim Akarod. My dear Brahmana, my dear Shukadev Goswami, Nandaha Kim Akarod, what is it that Nanda Maharaj did that was so special? What kind of piety and austerities must he have performed that he got such great fortune? Shreya Evam Mahodayam. And what to speak of the highly fortunate mother Yashoda, Yashoda Cha Mahabhaga. Papo Yasyah Stanam Harihi. Papo means drink, Stanam means breast milk. So that Hari, the Supreme Lord, actually drank the breast milk of Mother Yashoda and acted as her child. So what must these two great personalities have done to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Krishna would do all kinds of menial services for his parents, even as a child, bringing some little things from here and there, bringing some little paraphernalia on the instructions of his mother. When his father was about to leave, he would carry his sandals on his head, and then he would bring it and place it before Nanda Maharaj. He would do such things, and he would always like to be in the comfort of his mother's lap, just like an ordinary human child feels comfort in his mother's lap. And that same Krishna, who would get afraid when there was clapping of thunder and he would run to the shelter of his mother, was he who was also the killer of so many powerful demons. So Krishna was a bundle of contradictions, but the Brajavasis didn't care, because Krishna, whatever he was ultimately sweet, and therefore they simply loved him. That's all. And they loved him in that mood. So how fortunate Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were that they considered Krishna as their son. Srila Prabhupada says that the Christians believe in the fatherhood of God. There are many others who believe in Shakti and Durga, they believe in the motherhood of God. The Christian believe God is my father. The Shakta worshippers, worshippers of Durga, believe God is my mother. But here Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj think God is my son. And Prabhupada says that this conception of God as a father and a mother is like a perverted reflection of the sentiment that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj have. So how glorious are these two great personalities. And then Srila Jiva Goswami comes to the gopis, who are the topmost devotees of Krishna, and their love for Krishna is unparalleled. This is also a famous verse from the 47th chapter of the 10th canto, the 60th verse. So let us chant.
Nayam shriyam ganitantaratah prasadah. Svaryoshitam nalina ganya ruchaam kutonyah. Rasotsavesya bhujadanda grihita kantha. Labdhashi shamya udgad vrajavallabhinam. Nayam shriyonga unitantaratah prasadah. Svaryoshitam nalina ganya ruchaam kutonyah. रासोत्सवेस्य भुजदंड गृहीत कंठ लब्धाशिशाम्य उदगाद व्रजवल्लभीनाम्।
प्लीज चैंट।
नायं श्रियोंग उनितांतरतः प्रसादः स्वर्योषितां नलिनगंधरुचां कुतोन्याः रासोत्सवेस्य भुजदंड गृहीत कंठ लाशिशाम्य उदगाद व्रजवल्लभीनाम्। नायं श्रियोंग उनितांतरतः प्रसादः स्वर्योषितां नलिनगंधरुचां कुतोन्याः रासोत्सवेस्य भुजदंड गृहीत कंठ लब्धाशिशाम्य उदगाद व्रजवल्लभीनाम्।
लेडीज
नायं श्रियोंग उनितांतरतः प्रसादः स्वर्योषितां नलिनगंधरुचां कुतोन्याः रासोत्सवेस्य भुजदंड गृहीत कंठ लब्धाशिशाम्य उदगाद व्रजवल्लभीनाम्।
Translation: When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly men, who are very beautiful according to material estimation.
So just as Shukadev Goswami has described the great fortune of the gopas of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, now she is describing the great fortune of the gopis, the young gopis of Vrindavan. And she says, and Shukadev Goswami says, Labdha Ashisham. Ashisha means benediction. These gopis, Vrajavallabhinam, the beautiful damsels of Vraj, who are the gopis, Labdha Ashisham, they obtained this most wonderful benediction. What was that? Rasotsave. In the Utsav, or the festival of the Rasalila dance, Rasotsave, Asya Bhujadanda Grihita Kantha, their kantha or their necks were embraced by the two hands of the Lord. Na ayam, and this was never done for Shriyaha, for the goddess of fortune Lakshmi Devi, or even for the other consorts of the Lord in the spiritual world. Even the Swara Yoshitam, Swar means Swargaloka, Yoshitam means the ladies. So the Apsaras and the other ladies of the heavenly planets were very beautiful. And Nalinagandha, their bodies, they are like lotus flowers, they smell as fragrant as lotus flowers. So they never had the fortune that the gopis had. So what to speak of other ordinary women in this material world? So the gopis of Vrindavan exhibited the kind of complete surrender, complete
shall we say, giving up of every other aspiration in life than simply serving Krishna and loving Him. And the Rasa Leela represents the pinnacle of this, because in the middle of the night when Krishna was playing the flute at Vanshivat, they left everything despite the objections of their husbands and their fathers and father-in-laws and whatever, all other relatives. They took a great risk. They abandoned, they had no concern for anything in this world. There's a simple story that Prabhupada said one time, that when Krishna had a headache and Narad Muni came to him and said, well, what, can we arrange something for you? And he said, no, the only medicine that can cure me is the dust from the feet of my devotees. So please give me the dust from your feet. And he said, no, how can I do that? How can I give dust from my feet to you? Impossible. He said, now go and ask the gopis and tell them I have a headache, and that is only the dust from the lotus feet that will cure my headache. So when he went there to the gopis and he announced it, immediately the gopis without hesitation started scooping up dust from their feet. Say, here, take. How much more do you want? Don't you know that you're going to hell? We don't mind if you go to hell. We don't mind residing eternally in hell if by our so doing, Krishna can be relieved of the headache. So this is their mood, and that is why they are so glorified. The relationship between the gopis and Krishna is not an ordinary material relationship. Otherwise, why would great saintly persons or even sannyasis like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are very strict, why would they hear about the character of the gopis? It is not the nature of a sannyasi to hear about ladies. So if they were ordinary ladies, why would all the great sannyasis and other great stalwarts in spiritual science glorify them and hear about them? So this is not an ordinary thing. It is completely transcendental. And to just explain the intensity of their absorption in Krishna, their raga bhakti, we've described this term earlier. Let us chant the next verse, which is a very beautiful verse. It appears in the 10th canto, chapter 31, which is the famous Gopi Geet, which we chant in Kartik every evening here. It's the 15th verse. So let us chant this verse. Atati Yadbhavan Ahnikananam. Yugayate Tvama Pashyatam Kutila Kuntalam Shri Mukham Chate Jada Udikshatam Pakshma Kridrisham Atati Yad Bhavan Ahnikananam Yugayate Tvama Pashyatam Yugayate Tvama
Kutila kuntalam Shri Mukham Chate
Kutila kuntalam Shri Mukham Chate
Jada udikshatam Pakshma Kridrisham
Yatati Yad Bhavan Ahanikananam Truti Yogayate Tvam Apashyatam Kutila kuntalam Shri Mukham Chate Jada udikshatam Pakshma kridrisham Atati Yadhavan Anikananam Truti Yugayate Tvam Apashyatam Kutila kuntalam Shri Mukham Chate Jada udikshatam Pakshma kridrisham
Srila Prabhupada's translation. When you go off to the forest during the day, a tiny fraction of a second becomes like a millennium for us because we cannot see you. And even when we can eagerly look upon your beautiful face, so lovely with its adornment of curly locks, our pleasure is hindered by our eyelids, which were fashioned by the foolish creator. Atati, when you go, Yad Bhavan, yourself, Ahani, in the daytime, Kananam, into the forest, Kanan, Dvadasha Kanan, the 12 forests, so the word Kanana means forest. Truti is a very fraction of a second, Yugayate, seems like a yuga, like many, many years. Tvam, Apashyatam, when we do not see you, every fraction of a moment appears like a yuga. Kutila Kuntalam, Shri Mukham Chate, on your beautiful face we see the curly locks of hair that makes it appear even more beautiful. And therefore, this pleasure of seeing is so great that we curse the creator Brahma because he has created eyelids which have to blink. And when we blink, then we can't see. So the eyes are meant to see your beautiful form, but when the eyelids are blinking, we are unable to see. So Brahma, Jada, is Jada, that means he's foolish. He doesn't know how to create. He has made these eyelids which interfere with the perfection of our life, which is to see you all the time.
So Srila Prabhupada explains that so great was the love of the gopis that they were in transcendental anxiety when they could not see Krishna, when Krishna was away in the forest, and they were in transcendental anxiety when Krishna returned to Vraja also. When Krishna was away, he was away. So they're saying, well, every second appears like a yuga. And when he was in Vrindavan, then they would say, oh, how unfortunate, we have to blink and we don't see Krishna for those moments, for those fractions of moments. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshashtakam also has the famous verse, Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravrishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. In your absence, O Govinda, the whole world is vacant. And even a moment without you appears like a yuga, like many, many years. So this is why, because of this feeling of intense separation from Krishna, the gopis are considered the topmost devotees of the Lord. And the Rasa Leela actually went on for a whole night of Brahma. And Srila Rupa Goswami says that actually the gopis felt it to be not more than a moment. So we won't chant the last verse because we have crossed the time, but I'll just chant the translation. This is also from the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto. After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes. Although they did not wish to do so, the Lord's beloved consorts complied with his command. So just imagine that Krishna enjoyed the Rasa Leela with the gopis for one night of Brahma, which is millions and millions of years. And so absorbed were the gopis in Krishna's association that they felt that one night of Brahma to be just a fraction of a moment. So this is the love of the gopis. So whether they are the child, the cowherd boys, or whether they are the older gopas and gopis, or whether they are the younger gopis, they are all the premi bhaktas of Vrindavan. And this sweetness is therefore something that is found only here, because it is Krishna, the original Shyam Sundara Govind, who appears like a cowherd boy. He has this 62nd quality, which is prema madhuri, that he is always surrounded by loving devotees whose hearts are enriched with the most intense prema. So tomorrow we'll discuss the third sweet quality, which is Venu Madhuri, Krishna's quality of playing the flute. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.